So I want us particularly this morning to focus our attention on those last two verses of that passage. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew and then the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Or some versions might say from faith to faith. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And that last bit comes from the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. If we look at verse 17, this last bit, there's some actually quite churchy language in there. We never really use the word righteous, maybe you do in your house, but most people wouldn't use the word righteousness. But I wonder how we would explain it. If somebody tomorrow rocked up and asked you, how would you explain righteousness? I wonder what you would say. I wonder what I would say. We might fare a bit better if we thought about the word righteous. But actually, how would we explain the word righteousness? We might skim past it in the Bible, but actually it's a really important concept to grasp. It goes right to the heart of the gospel, which is why I kind of want to speak about this first of all as a bit of a foundation. Well, first of all, the Bible is really clear that God is a righteous God. That is part of his character. But in this verse, Paul is not describing one of God's attributes. So much as picking up on the Old Testament idea that righteousness is connected with the salvation of God's people. God's righteousness is in relation to bringing salvation to his people. Salvation begins with us realizing that there is nothing that we can do as individuals to make us right with God. We can try everything to earn our faith, to earn our way to heaven, but actually nothing makes us right before God that we can do. Paul's already told us in the verses before that we looked at last week that actually salvation is available to anybody who in faith repents of our sin, believing that Jesus died on the cross for each one of us, that he was buried and on the third day that Jesus rose again from the dead. He conquered death and offers us a new and living eternal life. It is when we believe that we not only receive forgiveness of our sins, but we also receive God's righteousness as a gift. I don't know if you ever realise that. We talk a lot, don't we, about receiving forgiveness for our sins, but we also receive the gift of God's righteousness. It means that we can stand before God right. In other words, when we stand before God, God doesn't see us, but actually he sees Jesus. We are clothed in the rightness of Jesus. In spite of everything that is wrong with us, God sees us through Jesus and he loves us. He delights in us and also he accepts us. It's not so much that it's a righteousness coming from God. Actually, it is God's righteousness, his goodness, his justice, but particularly the fact that he is without sin. It is as God takes off our unrighteousness and clothes us in God's righteousness through Jesus. And it is as we respond to this gift of righteousness and forgiveness that God has given us that we live by faith. We live by faith in all that God has done and the promises of God and his faithfulness. And that is kind of summed up in that very last bit that Paul speaks about. The righteous person lives by faith. If you know anything about the prophet Habakkuk, you might know that he lived in a time when God's people were particularly wicked. So God comes and tells Habakkuk that he is going to bring judgment on God's people by bringing judgment through the Babylonians. Now, the Babylonians were worse than God's people. So Habakkuk goes to God and says, surely, God, this is not fair. It's not fair that you're using somebody who's worse than us to bring us to judgment. But God calls Habakkuk to a life of faithfulness and trusting God's plans and purposes. God tells Habakkuk to have faith and trust that God will be faithful to his promises, that he will do what is right and just and fair. And actually, we see the rest of the book is how Habakkuk works that out in practice. If we plug that into this verse 17, we can see that God has revealed his righteousness through the gospel. He's shown us his faithfulness to keep his promises right from the beginning. So as God is faithful, that first faithful in this verse, this first faith, so we are called to live faithfully in response. The righteous are called to live by faith. God has been faithful. We are called to be faithful. I want us to finish off by reflecting on verse 16. Paul says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes." I am not ashamed of the gospel. Maybe we're not surprised that Paul says that he's not ashamed, because if you read the book of Acts, you can see clearly that whatever Paul faces, actually he is never ashamed to share the good news of Jesus. But I wonder if his words are a challenge to us. I wonder whether we are ashamed of the gospel. It's quite an emotive word, ashamed, isn't it? And maybe we might say we're not ashamed of the gospel, but I wonder whether we ever feel embarrassed or awkward about sharing it. That opportunity comes up to talk about Jesus. I wonder how often we take it, or whether we bottle it and lack the confidence to share the good news of Jesus. It seems, somebody talked earlier on, doesn't it? It seems that Jesus doesn't land very well in our culture often today. And so if we are really honest, sometimes genuinely we feel more concerned about what somebody might think about us, more concerned about that than planting seeds of the gospel so that we might be part of somebody experiencing and responding to the good news of Jesus. I wonder whether this lack of confidence in the gospel contributes, maybe in some small way, to declining churches in the UK and in the Western world. Actually, Jesus gave a very clear commission to his disciples before he went back to heaven. The very last words in Matthew's gospel that he says is, "Go and make disciples of all nations." And I don't think that he was just talking to the 500 or so who were gathered there at that time. I think it is an ageless commandment that has come down to all of God's disciples today, to go and make more disciples of all nations. But I wonder whether it's our daily decisions that will highlight and will tell us whether we are in some way ashamed or lack confidence in Jesus and his gospel. So for a few moments, I just want to look at this verse and to ask ourselves, what can we learn from this verse, from what Paul says here, in order that we might have more confidence to share the good news of Jesus? Well, first of all, notice that Paul speaks about the fact, he talks about the gospel of God, he's convinced about the power of God that we see in the gospel. Paul knew that the power of God was a transforming, regenerating power that can change lives. How did he know that? because he'd experienced it himself, that road to Damascus, a complete turnaround. But then he had seen it, that as he shared the gospel with the most unlikely of people, he saw God transforming lives time and time again. You know, sometimes I think we think that we face a more kind of difficult crowd today in our society than Paul did. But actually, he faced his own challenge as he shared the gospel. But that did not stop him, because he had confidence in the power of God to change lives. I wonder, first of all, do we know that power in our lives? And secondly, if we do, how much do we trust in the power of God? Trust that that power is still at work and God is still using the same gospel to transform lives today. I think it's really helpful for us to remember as we think about sharing Jesus that actually it's not, we don't do it through our power. It's actually the power of God that gives us the ability to share. We, like Paul, are invited to trust God's power. Trust that that power is still at work in the world, but in particular, at work in the places where we find ourselves. We trust that power when we first become Christians, but also day to day as we seek to share Jesus. So first of all, we remind ourselves about the power of God that is still at work through the gospel today. But secondly, I think underpinning Paul's confidence is also a deep conviction that actually the gospel is for everybody. The gospel is for everybody who believes. Verse 15, if you go back, he tells us that he's eager to share the gospel. And actually, as we see Paul and watch what he does, he shares it with anybody and everybody. He might be before a massive crowd getting stoned and shipwrecked and all sorts of things, but he's still sharing the gospel. He also shares it with individuals on his journey. No matter what the background or the experience, Paul believes and has conviction that this good news is for everybody. And that should give us confidence that the people that we meet every day on our journeys are the people that God wants to work in the lives of. I wonder sometimes whether, like me, you're guilty of kind of making a bit of a quick judgment on somebody and thinking, yeah, they're not going to respond to the gospel. Actually, we do it all the time, don't we? We look at people and make judgments about who we might be confident to share the gospel. They look a little bit like they might be a person of peace or not. But actually, maybe we should be looking and trusting that God will prompt us at the right moment to share the right thing with somebody. So we trust in the power of God that is still at work today through the gospel. We trust and are convinced that the good news of Jesus is available for everybody. And lastly, I think this verse reminds us very helpfully for me, is actually it's not about me. This is about God at work. This is not my message. And whilst we might not be confident, we might walk away, as I've done in the past, and thinking, oh, I really messed that up. Actually, God is able to take our words in the most supernatural way and use them to speak into the lives of others through his gospel. If you think about Jesus, if you think about the disciples, if you think about Paul, actually they loved, but they challenged everybody they met, every pocket of society, with the words of Jesus. They spoke about Jesus. They acted out Jesus' compassion and love and justice. They chose the way of service and sacrifice. And the reality is that as you read the book of Acts, you will see that they experienced all sorts of responses. They got mocked and laughed at for all that they shared, as well as people believing. But whatever the response, they still continued to share the gospel message. It's a message that has been passed right down from those first disciples, a message that, you know, despite the context or the culture, it's unchanging, just as God is unchanging. The core of the gospel never changes. Sometimes we sing, now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. Of course, we should look for ways of making the message culturally relevant to the world in which we live. But actually, we shouldn't seek to change the good news of Jesus. The gospel message isn't something to be ashamed of, irrespective of how others respond. We have been given the gift of Jesus for those who believe and respond. It's a gift of good news and life. It's a foundation. It gives us a foundation of peace and hope and deep joy and deep love and meaning to our lives. And actually, if we truly value and believe that Jesus has given us that, shouldn't we want that hope and that love and that peace, joy and meaning for life to be passed on to others? Salvation of God is by grace and through faith. Grace is the love of God expressed through Jesus. Faith is our acceptance, belief and obedience on that grace and love. Grace is God's part of the bargain and the equation. Faith is our part of the bargain to keep. We are journeying through life, and we are called to journey with a life of faith, believing that the message of the gospel, this same message, is still the message for everybody, and it has power to change lives. So I can encourage us this week to keep sharing, or to start sharing, the gospel message of Jesus. I wonder, as we think about all that Paul says in these verses, if we can go to the next slide, David, it'd be great. Where might you put yourself in terms of confidence of sharing the gospel? 1 through to 5, plagued by doubt, very uncertain, up and down, mostly confident and fully assured. And maybe how might these verses help us to nudge to the next kind of category, assuming that none of us are fully assured, we'll just go off the scale of sharing, so that's fantastic. But actually, to help us to think about, how does this verse, how does Scripture help me to be confident about sharing the good news of Jesus?